us. Okay, what I'm going to talk about tonight, even as I was praying and asking the Lord, we want to look at the armor of a warrior, or the armor of God, given by God, the armor of a warrior. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 11 onwards. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. So this is the armor of a warrior that Apostle Paul is describing about. When I was a young Christian, when I started to grow in the Lord, I heard many pastors teaching on the armor of God, and praise God for all those teachings that I received from men of God. But there is an error about the armor of God that needs to be corrected. Most of them that teach about the armor of God say that Apostle Paul is giving the revelation of the armor of God from the perspective of a Roman soldier. And he is talking to Ephesians from the perspective of a Roman soldier. Whatever the Roman soldiers used to wear at that time as an armor, as a soldier, he uses it, that perspective of the attire or the armor of the Roman soldiers so that they can relate to it. So that is not true. What Apostle Paul is relating to is not a Roman soldier who wears an armor. Apostle Paul is relating to elements in the spirit. He's relating to the garment of Jesus Christ that he wears. Okay, hallelujah. So so the armor of God, if you want to understand the armor of a warrior that is of God, we cannot understand this scripture from the perspective of studying it from through a Roman perspective, or the history, what Roman soldiers used to wear, or why did they wear the breastplate, or why did they wear the helmet. That is not the root of the revelation. The root of the revelation is in the spirit. There is something in the spirit that Jesus wears when he takes vengeance on the enemy, when he wants to repay the enemy. And this is the armor that he wears at that time. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59. Isaiah, chapter number 59, verse number 16. Verse number 16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. I want you to underline or mark that words. Okay. He saw, God saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. Underline that, because that scripture will be used to understand the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. What? Therefore, because there was no intercessor, what? His own hand, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. Underline that. That sentence will be used to understand the revelation of the breastplate of righteousness. Okay. Then it says, verse number 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate. This is God now. This is Jesus. Talking about Jesus. So the Bible says, because there was no intercessor, to do a job that God wanted them to do. That's why Jesus himself stepped into the picture. Jesus himself stepped into the battlefield. And what did he wear? He put on righteousness as what? As a breastplate. And a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. And was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. So, this is where the revelation comes from. Are we understanding? The revelation comes from what is there in the realm of the Spirit. And the revelation comes from what Jesus wears when he goes, when he comes to repay the enemy and to judge the enemy and to punish the enemy. Hallelujah. So what Apostle Paul is talking is not from the context of what a Roman soldier wears. Okay, are we clear? It is from the context of what is in the realm. It's a revelation from the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We don't understand. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Christians are not able to understand the word, this word, the Bible, is because we depend a lot on the internet or on other books or on commentaries than on the Holy Spirit, so that we can draw a meaning from the wisdom and from the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why we are stuck to drawing context from history, drawing context from what the archaeologists said. Those things are helpful. I also use those things. But the reality of revelation can be tapped into from the revelation of the and the wisdom of the Spirit of God, from the realms of the Spirit. So the same thing that Isaiah is prophesying, that his own arm brought salvation and his own righteousness sustained him because there was no intercessor. And now then he introduces the armor that Jesus, he's talking about Jesus here, Isaiah, and he's then saying that he himself came to bring judgment by what? By wearing the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and wearing the clothes of vengeance and the cloak of what? Of zeal to repay the deeds of the adversaries. So the armor of God is related to an intercessor. So when we understand Isaiah chapter number 59 verse 16 to 19, Jesus had to wear the armor. Why? Why he had to wear the armor? Because in verse 16, there was no intercessor. Hallelujah. Do we see that? Because there was no intercessor, Jesus had to put on the armor and repay the enemy and bring judgment on the enemy and destroy the enemy, defeat the enemy, whatever. Because there was no intercessor. So that brings us to the purpose of the armor of God. The purpose of the armor of God is for to fulfill an aspect of an intercessory ministry. And because there was no intercessor who wore the armor and fought this battle to destroy the enemy, hallelujah, Jesus had to come. Are we understanding until now? Okay, hallelujah. So the armor of God is related to the ministry of intercession. And the ministry of intercession includes wrestling. Write it down. What? The ministry of intercession includes what? Wrestling. Because many of the believers look at intercession as only pleading. They do not discover the complete ministry of intercession and what it includes. The armor of God is what related to the intercession ministry. And the purpose of the aspect in the intercession ministry that it fulfills is it fulfills the aspect of wrestling. An intercessor is a wrestler. Hallelujah. Are you an intercessor? If you are an intercessor, say, I am a wrestler. Everyone say that. I am a wrestler. Everyone say that. Hallelujah.
I am a wrestler.
Yes. The one of the believers don't know it. When we think about intercession, we think about praying for others and pleading. That is an aspect of intercession. But one of the very major and important aspect and area of the intercession ministry is wrestling, is what Jesus is doing here in Isaiah chapter number what? 59, verse number 16 onwards. So what Jesus is doing here, Jesus is all out to bring judgment on the enemy. Hallelujah. He is wearing the cloak of zeal. Why? To repay the enemy, to bring fury on the adversaries, to recompense the enemies, to fully repay them. Hallelujah. God uses intercessors to punish the enemy. If there is not an intercessor in a land, God will not be able to bring judgment on the wicked. You will see the wicked prospering in their ways, and there is no one to stop them because of the lack of an intercessor who can wrestle with the wicked spirits that they host through their bodies. Hallelujah. Wickedness cannot be defeated unless there is an intercessor wearing the whole armor of God. The armor of God is intended for the purpose of wrestling, is intended for the purpose of fighting. And the Bible says in Isaiah 59, because there was no intercessor, his own arm brought salvation. Hallelujah. And his own righteousness sustained him. And he himself wore the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the clothing, the garment of vengeance, the cloak of zeal. And he went out to defeat and destroy the enemy. So because there was no intercessor who wrestled against wickedness, because there was no intercessor who wrestled against these powers, Jesus himself had to wear the armor in Isaiah 59. So are we understanding? I want to clear out some misconceptions about the armor of God. The armor of God is not related to a Roman soldier. The armor of God is what Jesus wears for the purpose of vengeance. Hallelujah. For the purpose of vengeance. You see, unless there is an intercessor, wickedness cannot be destroyed. Saul was not an intercessor, by the way. King Saul, he was being asked by God to destroy the Amalekites. And Prophet Samuel gave him the instructions of God, because he did not even heard God personally, directly from God. Prophet Samuel used to bring the word, but he did not destroy it. But Samuel, as an intercessor, went there and canceled the curse and the wickedness of King Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and destroyed him. Samuel was a prophetic intercessor who knew that he is a wrestler called to destroy the enemy. Believers are too much on the defensive mode. And because they are in the defensive mode and don't understand the attacking mode, they are not able to march forward. They are not able to advance to take over territories. Hallelujah. If you love football, those of you who love football, if only you concentrate on your defense, how much you will save the goals that are scored by the opposite team. Defense. And if you don't attack, slowly, this team, because you are not attacking, you are in your defense area, in your own goal. You are not marching forwards towards the enemy goal to score a goal against them, and you will not win the match. Either, most probably, there are high chances that you will be defeated. Or otherwise, you will not win, but it will be a draw because you are just defending. You will never win the match if you are in a defending mode. And people are in the defending mode because they do not understand the armor of God. They do not put on the armor of God. The armor of God is for advancement in the territory of the demonic. In the territory of the demonic and of darkness. That is what the armor of God is for. The armor of God is for to step into the enemy's territory and to disarm principalities and to take over territories. That is what Jesus is doing. He went in the territory of the enemy to repay them, to recompense them, to punish them by putting on the armor. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. The armor is for advancement and to step into the enemy's territory. God did not give you his spirit, his word, and the armor for doing time pass. God gave you his spirit, his word, his armor, so that you can advance. Hallelujah. You can advance and attack and destroy by wrestling with the enemy, with the what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness. Now, for those of you who want to understand those words, I have already taken a sermon that is there on a ministry channel, on the YouTube ministry channel. So you can go through that. I have explained there what is principality, what is dominion, what is thrones, what is rulers of darkness of the age, and all those things I've explained. So I'm not going to go into those things. That's a very vast topic. But to advance and to subdue demonic principalities, the armor has been purposed. Are we understanding? So what did I say? The armor is related to the ministry of an intercessor. Because there was no intercessor, Jesus had to put the armor and come. Because of the lack of intercessor. An intercessor who did not know to fight, did not know to wrestle. That's why in Isaiah 59, what? Jesus had to put. So, before going into the revelation of the armor, I want to make you understand something, some revelations about intercession ministry. Write it down. What I'm saying is very important. To be an intercessor is not an option to the believer, but a responsibility and necessity to be fulfilled. To be an intercessor is not an option to the believer, but a responsibility and what? Necessity to be fulfilled. So, I have seen ministers of the gospel, I have seen prophets telling me, because when I started off, I am still an intercessor, and for a long time, I had been an intercessor. The intercession ministry advanced me or took me to the office of the prophet and to the office of the apostle. So my roots can be traced down to the intercession ministry. I started off with the intercession ministry. And when I started to be faithful in that intercession ministry, I started to tap into the realms of the prophetic. I started to tap into the realms of vision, of dreams, of interpretation of visions, of interpretation of dreams. Hallelujah. I started to tap into the realm of the angelic. I started to tap into the realm of hidden demonic strongholds. That all started from intercessor. If there is a prophet and the prophet says, I was born a prophet, I was never an intercessor. I am called to do big ministry and I am called to minister to millions of people and not do intercession. That prophet is a false prophet, because the prophetic ministry has its roots in the intercession ministry. Every prophet has to be an intercessor. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Intercessor is the What did I say? It's not an option to the believer. It's a responsibility and necessity. Hallelujah. Then every ministry in the body of Christ stands on the platform of intercessory ministry. Every ministry in the body of Christ, whatever, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostles, prophet, every ministry stands on the platform of the intercessory ministry in the body of Christ. Are we understanding now? Okay. Hallelujah. I have already explained these things I am saying from the scripture in my previous sermons. I'm not going to go in detail because we want to look at the armor of God. Okay. But when you read Numbers chapter number 11, afterwards you read that, what happens there is Moses says to God and says, oh God, the burden is too much that I am handling for this people. I cannot bear the burden. So God told Moses, okay, you come to the tent of meet, to the tent, to the meeting tent, and gather with you 70 elders, officers over men, 70 elders gather to you. What I will do is, I will take the spirit from you and I will pour it on them. I will take the portion of your spirit and give it to all those 70 people so that they can be a part to fulfill the burden or to bear the burden along with you. Are we together? What was the burden Moses doing? Moses was carrying the burden of intercession for the 6 lakh families of Israel. That is what he was doing. He was pleading with God. He was the middleman. He was standing in the gap, pleading for the people. He was interceding anytime they sin. And then he was bringing the word, the voice of God, bringing the instructions, telling people what they need to do, explaining people the laws of God, and carrying the burden through intercession. Now, Moses is the Jesus of the Old Testament. I have told this many times to you. Hallelujah. Jesus, the burden of Jesus is heavy because he carries the burden of the whole human race and intercedes to God for them. By the way, what he is doing in heaven at the right hand of God is not an apostolic ministry. It's not a prophetic ministry. He is interceding on behalf of us. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So that is the spirit of intercession taken from Moses and poured upon the 70 elders so they can become a part of the ministry that Moses is carrying out. That is the revelation that is there in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter number 4, where the Bible says Jesus ascended on high so that he can pour gifts and give gifts to men. And then it talks about the fivefold ministry. So the spirit of Jesus, that's why Jesus said, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. It was the anointing of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that will be poured upon the disciples and those who follow him for the fulfillment of the purpose of Jesus and the burden of Jesus through the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Are we together until now? So, what was the spirit of Jesus? The spirit of Jesus was the burden for intercession that was poured upon every believer in the body of Christ. So, every believer is an intercessor. Hallelujah. Every believer is supposed to be an intercessor. Whatever you are, apostle, prophet, of whatever high degree of anointing. But if you say, oh, I am not called to intercede, I am just called to be on the stage, you are fooling around with God. Hallelujah. Either your roots are not traced to God himself. You have come through a necromancer or a sorcerer. Or either you have lost your contact with God. Every believer has the portion of the spirit of Jesus to be an intercessor. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So every ministry, what the ministry I am doing of revealing mysteries, I cannot leave intercession ministry. Hallelujah. I cannot leave wrestling. I cannot leave wrestling. Wrestling is my core part. I train people on spiritual warfare. That's why. I train people by exposing the demonic strongholds. Hallelujah. Last time I was speaking on the demonic caves. I could speak on that because I am well versed with those areas of the demonics because I am an intercessor who can go in the strongholds in the spirit realm and wrestle with them. I understand the armor of God that has been given to me, not to sit at home, but to go in the realms of the spirit and fight with demonic strongholds. Hallelujah. The purpose of the armor is not to preach the gospel, is not to do miracle ministry. The purpose of the armor is to defeat the demonic. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So are we clear? Intercessor is not an option to you, brother. Intercessory ministry is not an... If you have not started off being faithful in intercession, you cannot... God cannot elevate you. When you are faithful in the ministry of intercession and of the word, that is, I'm not talking about the word, but that does not mean it's not there. but the word and prayer, intercession and the word ministry. Hallelujah. If you're not faithful in these two areas, you cannot advance. God cannot take you and promote you. By the way, for your information, it's not your pastor who will proclaim that you are ordained as a prophet. If he speaks and not, God does not speak, you are not a prophet. God has to ordain you. Hallelujah. Because we are, many of the pastors do not hear from God, and because this person is very good to me, they ordain that person as a prophet. But God did not proclaim it. Read your Bible. David was anointed because God pointed out David to Prophet Samuel. Saul was anointed because it was God who pointed out, this is the man I have chosen. God chooses men. Man cannot choose man. Are we understanding? Okay, I'm not going into that. But that is an intercession ministry. And the intercessory ministry has multiple functions to be fulfilled. Write it down. The intercessory ministry has multiple functions to be fulfilled, and its advancement is in the prophetic office. Its advancement is in the what? Prophetic office. Intercessory and prophetic office are related. Intercessory ministry is the core, and prophetic office is the advanced model of the intercessory ministry. Okay? So, there are four functions of an intercessor. There are four functions, and most of the functions I have taken, the sermons I have taken. The first function is a lawyer, a spiritual lawyer. Okay? A spiritual lawyer who pleads the cases of people in the courts of heaven. A spiritual lawyer. You know, technically, the most ancient book that the Bible records is the book of Job. The book of Job and not Genesis. Because before Moses wrote Genesis, Job was the book of Job was there. It's the ancient manuscript. And the book of Job chapter 1 starts with a negotiation, a case handling in the courts of heaven. Because there is an accuser who is accusing Job. And there, God himself is the lawyer for Job. And God says, no. What accusations you are bringing are not justifiable. And then the lawyer says, we have to, then the accuser, that is Satan, was saying, if you take away this from him, if you kill his children, he will curse you. He is bringing an accusation against Job. That is the courts of justice where a spiritual case has been handled. And there, because Satan is the accuser of brethren who accuses the people of God day and night, there is the need of a spiritual lawyer, and the intercession ministry is to fulfill the negotiation or the case handling by becoming a spiritual lawyer. When you read the book of Zechariah, Zechariah was pleading the case for the high priest Joshua who was building the temple in Ezra in the courts of heaven. Are we understanding? That is pleading for people. Lord, even like what Moses did, Lord, you leave them alone. Isn't you, it was you that brought them out of Egypt? And if you kill them here, what will the other nations say? You told them that you will take these people to the promised land. That is pleading the case, fighting in the courts of heaven. Hallelujah. So that the decision of God can be turned in the favor of God's people. Intercession. That is what Jesus is doing. With his blood, he pleads for us. And whenever Satan accuses you, Jesus is pleading. Hallelujah. Your case with God. Hallelujah. But don't take his intercession ministry for granted, okay? That you will do whatever you want and my Jesus is there to plead for me. No. There is a, okay. Hallelujah. Grace, I told you, grace has an expiry date if you take it for granted. Grace has an expiry date if you take it for granted. Okay. What is the first function of the intercessory ministry? Is to be a lawyer. Hallelujah. And there, to be a lawyer, to be a spiritual lawyer in the courts of heaven, you require, the intercessor needs to have spiritual intelligence, wisdom, revelation, and needs to stand in the gap. Hallelujah. Standing in the gap is what? It's becoming a lawyer. What does the book of Ezekiel say? Because there was no one that I found who could stand in the gap on behalf of the land and make a wall between me and the people, because there was no one to stand in the gap to plead the case. Hallelujah. That is the aspect of a lawyer that the intercession ministry fulfills. The second aspect is a watchman. I have taken a series on watchmen, so I'm not going to talk. But watchmen, an intercessor needs to be a watchman. He needs to watch. He needs to stand on the wall of the territory of God and continue to watch, to blow the trumpet, to warn people, to warn of sin and of judgment. And prophesying is included in the watchman ministry. You prophesy. In other words, many people think prophecy is just encouragement. Prophecy is also warnings. Hallelujah. Prophecy is warning people. I see Satan is going to do this, so better be prepared. Better be on your toes. Better be in prayer. Hallelujah. Those are watchmen on the walls who are warning people, who are seeing. Seers are watchmen. They can see before things can happen. They can see before the enemy plans something. They can see and expose the wicked plans of the enemy and prepare the body of Christ. That is the part of the intercession ministry, to be a watchman. Are we understanding? Not going into detail of the watchman. The third ministry that an intercessor has fulfills is the advancement of the basics, is a prophetic ministry. Is the prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry is to build walls. Building walls by what? Building walls by continuously bringing the voice of God. Prophetic ministry is to bring the voice of God true for God's people. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The major part, because I'm an intercessor, that's why I write on our ministry, we write on our ministry, bringing the prophetic voice of God for the nation, because that is what God told me. That I will make you a voice, my mouthpiece to the nations who will prepare people for my purposes. So a prophetic ministry is bringing the voice of God. Hallelujah. Do you know, I don't preach theology. I am not teaching theology here. I am not teaching theology. Before every meeting, it takes days for me to tap into what God wants to speak in that particular meeting. Though I have diaries full of revelations, I cannot preach those revelations. If God says that there is one revelation that you need to preach today, then I can preach the revelation. But what I labor to bring to the people of God is the fresh voice of God for that day. Are we understanding? Amen. I can have revelations. I can be amazed by revelation. Oh, I got this deep revelation about the strongholds of the enemy. I want to preach that on Sunday. I cannot do that. I have to keep that diary aside. And Lord, what you want to speak? So I wait. Because I don't want to detract myself from the ministry and agenda God gave me. I want to bring the prophetic voice. And many times the prophetic voice is hidden in the teachings that I bring. Many times God gives me a preaching. Hallelujah. I don't teach, but it's more about a preaching that is encouraging people or bringing prophetic words. It's not a detailed teaching, but God's voice and his heart is hidden in everything that I say for that very season. Are you understanding? A prophet is the one who brings the voice of God. A prophet is not the one who will tell you, you live in a yellow house and your door is black and your dog is white. No, that is not a prophet. The prophet is who will bring the voice of God for you, the heart of God. That prophet can tell you that your house is yellow and your door is black and your dog is white, but that prophet cannot unveil to you the mystery and the plan of God that God wants to tell you, because they are unaware of it. They are not prophets. Hallelujah. Prophetic ministry is to bring the voice of God. That is how we build walls. We build walls to fortify the city of God. We build walls to fortify the people of God, to secure the people of God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is what these people called as spiritual covering, but from a different perspective. They put people in their own bondage and say, no, 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 you have to ask me. Spiritual covering is building walls. Hallelujah. And if you are with David in the caves, though Saul is trying to kill David and his army, but you will not be killed because David has built spiritual walls. Hallelujah. That is called as covering. Hallelujah. That is called as covering. That when you are with a prophet, when you are serving with the prophet as God demands, as God has instructed you, you will not die there because there is a spiritual covering, covenants that are also, you are partaking of it. That is prophetic ministry. I'm not going into detail, but they are supposed to build walls. They are supposed to bring the voice of God to direct people, not for the purpose of attaching that purpose, that person to himself, to make him God, but for the purpose of training and equipping people to fight for God and to fulfill the purposes of God Most High that God has for their lives. Hallelujah. A prophetic ministry also is intimacy with God, staying close to God and leading people into the same intimacy through their lives, through the ministry, leading people to become intimate with God. Intimate with God. If a prophet does not lead people to be intimate with God, but attaches people to his own anointing, he is not a prophet. It's a function of the prophet to lead people. A prophet trains people into spiritual warfare. Yes, he trains people. Okay, this was the third aspect. I have taken all those things in my previous sermons. Okay, the first one was what? Lawyer. The second, watchman. The third, a prophet. The fourth is what is our topic? Warrior. The fourth is the warrior. Hallelujah. A warrior is who? He is a wrestler. He is a wrestler. An intercessor is a wrestler who wrestles with satanic spiritual kingdom. Hallelujah. Are we together until now? Shall we go ahead? Say amen if you are there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. So, the wrestling part includes the armor of God. The wrestling part includes the armor of God. Okay. Hallelujah. So, let us go. So, I talked about the armor of God. The armor of God is what Jesus wore for the purpose of punishing, destroying the enemy. That is what we need the armor for. Okay. So, Ephesians chapter number 6. So, there are parts of the armor that Ephesians chapter number 6 speaks about. And it is speaking that we need to put on the armor of God to withstand in the evil day. So, the armor of God has elements that are used for defense, has elements that are used, that is the foundation, and has elements that are used to attack and to advance. Okay? Hallelujah. So, and Apostle Paul is talking about the armor because he's saying, if you don't put the armor of God, you cannot survive as a Christian. As plain as that. He's saying, put on the whole armor of God in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. He starts off with that. Okay? You cannot survive if you don't have put on the armor of God. You cannot survive without it in the evil days. And you cannot survive against the wiles of the enemy. Okay? So starting off with the armor. The armor has the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, the shoes of the gospel of peace. First of all, let me segregate this elements of the armor in different sections. First of all, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith is for protection. Write it down. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith is for protection. The belt of truth is the connecting part of the armor, which is the foundation. The belt of truth is the connecting part of the armor, which is the foundation. And then comes the sword and the shoes are parts for attack and advancement. Okay? Sword and the shoes are parts for what? Attack and advancement. Remember, the armor is for the purpose to fulfill the wrestling ministry of intercession. Okay? And Jesus, remember, Jesus put on the armor in Isaiah 59 to do what? To destroy the enemy, to recompense the enemy. And that is what God is calling an intercessor for, to destroy the enemy. First of all, let me start off with the protecting parts of the armor. Let me start from the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Now we understand this. Understand this. If you are a Christian and you want to advance in God, you cannot advance in the kingdom of God without pushing the enemy back. You got to have a wrestling with the enemy. And even as you resist the enemy, you will advance in the things of God. You will advance in the realms of God, even as you push the enemy back. That's why the wrestling part is been made available through the scripture for us to understand that we have to wrestle in order for us to continue to grow in the Lord. Okay? In this wrestling, there are arrows that are been released. Okay, what? In this wrestling match, arrows will be released by the enemy. Arrows that will come to, first of all, either against your mind or against your heart. Okay. Hallelujah. Are we together? Arrows through what? Which will either impact your mind or arrows that will either impact your heart. And if the devil, through his arrows, is able to impact your mind or your heart or both of it together, you will fall down and you will not be able to advance. Hallelujah. Understand this. Understand this. The reason why you are supposed to wear the helmet of salvation, the reason why you are supposed to wear the breastplate of righteousness, is because God wants to tell you that heavy attacks will be launched against you. Hallelujah. A Christian is a warrior. I want to tell you the truth, brethren. Hallelujah. Because many people say, oh, Brother Rahul, he teaches hard things. No, I'm not teaching hard things. I'm teaching the truth. Because pastors don't tell people that they are supposed to fight. They are supposed to wrestle. The pastors would not teach people because pastor would, no. Let us pamper them. Hallelujah. Some of them think that my teachings make people afraid. What? Make afraid. You have to fight otherwise. Because when you become a Christian, through the revelation of the armor, God wants to tell you that there will be heavy attacks that will be launched against your mind and against your heart when you are in Christ. And for you to safeguard your mind and your heart, he has given you the providence of the parts of the armor, that is the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. So I want to start off with the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Are we together until now? Okay, hallelujah. Helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? First of all, turn with me back to Isaiah 59, where Jesus wears the armor, he wears the helmet, he wears the breastplate. Isaiah 59, Isaiah 59, verse 16. Again, let's read that verse. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. Underline that. What is the helmet of salvation? It says, God's what? Own arm, his hand brought salvation for him. Write it down. Salvation is the work of God and not of man. I'm talking about the helmet of salvation. Carefully listen. If you put on this helmet, understand this revelation I'm teaching you. Put on the helmet. The devil cannot play with your mind. Okay? He cannot attack you and impact your mind with his arrows, because you will wear the helmet. So what did I say? Salvation is not the work of a man. It is the work of God. His arm brought salvation. His arm brought salvation. First of all, I want to teach you the doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of salvation. Okay. And then let us go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. It says, for grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is talking about salvation. What does it say? It is not of your own works. It is a what? Gift of God by grace and through faith. That's why the helmet, the breastplate and the shield of faith are related together. Hallelujah. And the doctrine of salvation relates them together. Are we together? You have to understand that salvation is not the work of man. It's the work of God. Salvation is what? Not the work of man, and not but the work of God. Believing and confessing Christ Jesus is acknowledging that you can do nothing to save yourself and live a worthy life, but only Jesus can do it for you. Stay with me. It is very important to understand the basic of salvation. What? Believing and confessing Christ Jesus is acknowledging that you can do nothing to save yourself and live a worthy life, but only Jesus, only the Lord God can do it for you. Now, this is what is talking about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is living a life with a crucified mindset, where you are completely dependent on God and on his strength and not your own. Write it down, okay? The helmet of salvation is living life with a crucified mindset of completely dependent on God and on the strength of God and not your own. Okay, listen to me. If you realize, hallelujah, let me take my example, okay? Hallelujah. Most of the time when I have meetings on weekend or whenever I have meetings, arrows are released from the enemy's kingdom. Maybe the arrows come from the sources of people in the ministry. Maybe the arrow come from the family. Maybe the arrow comes from somewhere else. Maybe the arrow comes through a phone call. Hallelujah. Listen to me. And if I don't wear the helmet of salvation, it will impact my mind. My mind is completely focused on the Lord. That's why I am able to teach what I teach for hours, because I put on the helmet of salvation. But if arrows are impacting your mind, you cannot do ministry. If some call has come to you like an arrow from the kingdom of the enemy and it impacted your mind is disturbed, tell me, how can you teach to people, or how can you hear from God? Because there is an arrow that has impacted your mind, and the arrow impacts your mind because you have not realized the doctrine of salvation, that it's not you but Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not you but Jesus. It's not you but Jesus. Hallelujah. For example, if a congregation member calls me and for no rhyme or reason, after serving that person so much, behaves weirdly and gives me bad words, if I think that I was the one who was ministering to him, taking efforts, his insults or his criticism will impact my mind. But if I say, Lord, that was He does not belong to me, he belongs to you. And whatever he is saying, he is not saying it to me. He is saying it to you, Lord. This is your ministry. This is your people. If I understand that doctrine, that it's not the work of man, but the work of God, that is the helmet of salvation. Are we understanding? Helmet of salvation. Oh Lord, I had so many people, but 10 people left my ministry because of a sermon I preached. It's an arrow that is released against my mind to play with my mind that you are not so powerful. Your ministry will not grow. But if I say, Lord, this ministry, those people left, but you know that I have brought your word. It's your ministry, Lord. You take care of it. The arrow will not impact my mind. If I understand it's the work of God and not of man. Helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone cheated you. He told you, invest this money and the money will be doubled. And it was a Christian friend. It was a friend. He was a friend that was with you and you helped him. And now he's saying invest, and you invested, you gave him that money. Then when the time came, he is not returning the money to you. When the time came, he is not picking up calls. Hallelujah. And then you found out that he cheated on you. It's an arrow that has been released. And if you think that money was yours, you gained it by your own strength, the person cheated you, the arrows will impact your mind with unforgiveness, bitterness, and all sorts of things. Revenge, vengeance, all sorts of things. But if you say that, not the work of mine, but the work of God, not my money, your money. Hallelujah. And if it has been stolen, Lord, I pray that it's your money, you will restore it to me. The arrow, helmet of salvation, helmet. Ah, hallelujah. Jesus wore the helmet of salvation. He knew, he was never insecure. Oh, so many crowds were following me. And after preaching the sermon of the communion to eat my body, they all left me, only 12 are remaining, and all those things. He did not become insecure because he knew it's not my ministry, Lord. Jesus said, it's not my doctrine that I teach. It's the doctrine that came from my Father. It's not my work. It's the will of the Father that I am doing. He put on the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation is when you realize it's not the work of man. You cannot do anything. You cannot do ministry. You cannot do anything without him. It's the work of God. What you have, your congregation, your church, whatever you have, it's not yours. It's all, everything belongs to God. Your money belongs to God. Hallelujah. Your children, your son in the school, you received a call from the school. In spite of teaching him so much, praying for him so much, you received a call from the school. And the school people complained that your son is in drugs and we cannot keep him in the school. And if you say, oh, I did so much for my son. Oh, this my son. But at that time, that it's an arrow that is sent. Arrow. And if you say, Lord, 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 it's not my son. Like Hannah, I surrender him to you. He's your son. Helmet of salvation. You understand it's not my son. He is the son of God. He belongs to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the helmet of salvation is not there, you cannot survive in this battlefield. My friends, you cannot survive. The helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Can I have an hallelujah? Are you listening, people? Amen. Hallelujah. Helmet. Helmet. Helmet of salvation. Are you understanding this? Huh? Helmet of salvation to protect your mind. Helmet of salvation is a revelation. If you get hold of this revelation that I am teaching you and obey it and embrace it, your mind will never be attacked. There will be peace in storms. There will be peace inside of winds because you realize not my work, not the work of man, the work of God. It's salvation. It's salvation. It's salvation. Hallelujah. The devil very well knows that if he is able to make you believe something in your mind, your life will function accordingly. So he does not want to push you in the grave. Before he push, he will not push you in the grave to kill you. What he will do is put thoughts of death in you, in your mind first. Arrows that will impact your mind. Because the mind is the stronghold of a human body and a human life. Okay, hallelujah. I have taken already a sermon about the strongholds of the mind. That is what Apostle Paul talks about. Okay, so let me tell you some things. If your doctrine of salvation is not correct, you can't even survive the battlefield. Salvation. Salvation. A famous prophet I saw. A very famous prophet, and I used to hear his teachings. He came on the television and he says, everything that is required by a man to go to heaven, I have done it. Huh? You have done it. I thought for going to heaven is not by your works. It's by grace. It's by God. Hallelujah. He came on and said that. Everything. And he said, if you go to heaven and you don't find me in heaven, you have not gone to heaven. You have gone to hell. Ah. Because everything that a man is supposed to do to go to heaven, I have done it. Hallelujah. Then there are other famous preachers. One of the influential preacher who is a man of God, he said that he, this guy made an error, but I don't want to speak against him, you know. He is a man of high rank. This is also a very, very good and established pastor. Now, the thing that makes my heart cry is when I see servants of God with such high revelation, servants of God who have done great things for the Lord and have been intimate with the Lord, they are regarding the relationship with other men of God above the word of God. You are saying, I don't want to say anything about him because he is a high rank of God, and you are letting the word of God being manipulated by him. That means you respect a man more than the word. Jesus was never like that. When I come to righteousness, I will talk about how Jesus gave the word of his father more importance than his own title, his own office, his own ministry, his own family. The word he gave importance. And people of God, don't let your love for a person supersede the word of God. Correctly divide the word of truth. When I come to the belt of truth, I will talk about those things. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation is the mindset that you cannot. Helmet of salvation is the mindset that you cannot turn back from following Christ, and you committed yourself to move forward and not go back to the old sins and pathways. Hallelujah. So, now you have to look at the armor. Every part of the armor is to protect your front of the body. That is most of, except one, the helmet. It's to protect the front of the body, because God expects that you will not turn your back on him and you will continue to advance. If you turn your back, the arrows will come and hit your back. So, but God does not give protection on the back, but on the front. There is only one part, that is the helmet, that protects your complete head and the back of your head. The helmet. The helmet of salvation, hallelujah, is a decision that you make that you will not turn your back on Jesus any time of your life. Hallelujah. You will never turn your back on Jesus. That is the helmet of salvation. Come what may in your life. But I will continue to march forwards and not look back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That is what the helmet of salvation, the doctrine of salvation is. Hallelujah. Salvation is not something that you buy from Amazon. Oh, I bought this. Yeah, I can buy it. And if I don't like it, within 10 days, I can return it. So that is not salvation. They think, let me accept Jesus and see whether I get the breakthrough. Let me try him for 10 days. If it does not work, I will return it. It's not an Amazon product that you try it and if it's good for you, it works for you, you will keep it or else you will return it. Accepting Jesus, that's why the Bible says before someone, Jesus said before someone builds a building, he will sit down and count the cost first. Before a king goes for a battle, he will sit down and arrange his army, see if he can go for the battle, and then he will go. That is how, count the cost before you follow Christ. Don't take the decision of salvation because a great music was played on the stage and the preacher instigated you to accept Jesus. It is counting cost. Hallelujah. Oh, today that music was so nice. I felt so good. And I went and accepted Jesus. After 10 days, he's back again. It was soulish. It was not by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Because salvation, if you accept Jesus, you put on the helmet of salvation where there is no turning back to the old pathways. No turning back. Because your mind, one battlefield is the battlefield that you are advancing in the demonic territory. Then the another battlefield is the battlefield in your mind. Hallelujah. Where the enemy will try to pull you back. Where the enemy will send arrows to impact you. To make you think, let me go back. Let me go back. Let me go back. Let me stop doing it. Oh, even only I am doing this in the church. I can easily think that, oh, only I am coming, I am teaching, and all those things. Not my work, but the work of God. Many people backslide from Jesus because they compare themselves. Only I am doing this thing. No one else is helping in the kingdom. So let me cease doing this ministry. And I am not getting any acknowledgement. I am not getting any appreciation. I am not getting any this, any that, any this. Because they are not wearing the helmet of salvation, not the work of man, but the work of God, they backslide. They stop doing that. Hallelujah. Intercessors highly can go back on their intercession ministry. Because when you step into intercession, when you step into the higher realms of God, the more you go high with God, the less crowd you will find there. The more you go close to God, the crowds will reduce. People will reduce. No one will stand with you. At last, you will find yourself alone. It's happening because you are going close to God. And there are high chances that people will start thinking, only I am doing this. No one else is acknowledging. No one else is doing that. And when that is the lack of the helmet, you're not realizing is the work of God. You have reached here not by your own efforts. You have reached here by the grace of God. Are we understanding? Helmet of salvation. People backslide because they don't wear the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Listen to me. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. Helmet of salvation is to protect the mind from attacks. Helmet of salvation is building walls of salvation. Do you remember the verse? It says, your walls shall be, they will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Salvations are like walls. Helmet is like a covering of wall around your mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Okay, let's go 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I have already taken this sermon, but just quickly for the sake of those who have not heard that sermon, let me take this topic quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What do you say? We are not warring physically, but spiritually. The same similar words and similar context of Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 12, that the wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principality, so on and so forth. The same context. And Apostle Paul is saying what? Our weapons are also not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are mighty walls. What strongholds? Which strongholds? Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is the walls. And these walls are in the minds of people. I have told you many times, the more you will let the demon stay in you, he will not do time pass in you. He will not drink Coca-Cola with you. What he will do is, he is constructing walls in your mind. He is constructing strongholds in your mind. So that even though you rebuke him or you cast him out, his walls will continue to operate. The mindset will not go. Only the demon will go. The spirit will go. But you will operate in the same way when he was there inside of you. Now, even after he is casted off of you, you are behaving in the same way because he set up a programming system in your mind. Are we understanding? Do you know a software engineer does not have to be in the company where he installs his software in their computer systems? He just have to fit or install the programming system in all the computers of the company and leave the company. So even if he is not available there, the programming that he has installed, the programs, the software will function in the absence of the person who actually installed the software. That is how demons are. When demons stay inside of a person, they put a software program that even if the demon is not there, the person will be programmed to function as per the will of the demon. That programming exists in the mind. Oh my God, hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is a stronghold. The stronghold consists of various elements. The strongholds are walled, are fortified coverings. Now, listen to me. It says, casting down arguments. One thing is arguments. And arguments, what are those arguments? And every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. One is arguments. Second is high thing. These are the two elements with which the demon has programmed your mind. And it has been put forth by the Apostle Paul as a stronghold, as a wall. What are arguments? What are arguments? Arguments are thoughts contrary to the word of God. Arguments are what? Are thoughts. These are the walls with which he builds the stronghold. The walls, okay? The walls with which arguments are thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. Do you remember the story of Gideon? Okay? He was what? Doing what? Threshing at the threshing floor. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Gideon, mighty man of valor, you are a deliverer of Israel. Then how he responded? He said, No. My family is the least of all the tribes. And in my tribe, my family is least of all the families. And in my family, I am the least of all the people in the family. But the angel of the Lord told, No, that's not true. That's not true. You are a warrior. Who told you that? It was the demons of Baal and Ashtoreth. Because Gideon had the altars of Baal, Ashtoreth, images of Baal and Ashtoreth in his house, set up by his father. Those demons staying in him built up a mindset, a programming that was contrary to the identity that God gave him. Are we understanding, people? It was contrary to the identity God gave him. And that's why he said, he is actually a mighty. That is contrary to the word of God. That is signifying of arguments. He was arguing with the angel because he believed in something, but the angel told him something else. Many of us lose on the purposes of God because there are arguments in our mind. There are walls constructed by demons in our mind. We lose on the purposes because instead of receiving the word, we resist the word because there are walls. And we are not never able to step into the purposes of God because of arguments. Those are the walls. Are we together? The second thing is a high thing. Every high thing. Every high thing. What is a high thing? The high thing is the strength of the walls. Hallelujah. If you come with that big rod of iron and you batter against the wall, you smash it against a wall, because of the force, the wall will develop some cracks. But what will happen? The wall is not breaking because the strength of the wall is keeping that wall. There is a strength of the wall. There is the, what you call, the foundation, the way it is laid, the materials that are used, like the walls of Jericho, impossible for anyone to break those walls. Impossible. No one could defeat Jericho because Jericho had walls which could not be broken down. You see that? So the reason why a wall cannot be broken down, it's because of the strength. That is the high thing, the strength of the wall. What is a high thing? High thing are spiritually embedded habits that are installed by a demon in a person, that a person never wants to get rid of. Never ever wants to get rid of. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like an alcohol, like a drunkard person addicted to alcohol. When his liver is damaged, as per the doctor's advice, because he wants to live, he is ready to drink alcohol occasionally, maybe once a week, but does not stops it completely. And when the doctor says that your liver is not improving, you have to completely quit alcohol. But this man says, I will die, but I cannot quit the alcohol completely, because it's a habit. It's a habit that is spiritually embedded in his mind. And he is not ready to get rid of it. He's not ready to get rid of it. Hallelujah. That is also an idol, a stubborn spirit, not ready to get rid of it. Like the people of Israel, all the 400 years they stayed in Egypt. What the devil did to them is they built, the spirits of Egypt built walls. And strong walls. That's why even at the edge of the promised land, they said to Joshua, they said to Moses that we want to go back. We don't want to go. That is how a spiritual warrior behaves if the helmet of salvation is not in place. However more ahead you will take them, pastors, they will still stick to their old habits. Because there is the existence of strong walls. There is the existence of programming, programmed by the devil. They were on the edge of the promised land, but still they said, we want to go back to Egypt. What was that? The strength of the walls. So much Moses did for them. Hallelujah. The labor that he offered. So much he did and brought them so far. And now they are saying, we don't want to go. We want to go back to Egypt. Why? It is because of the mind, which was still controlled by the spirits of Egypt. Though they were out of Egypt, that is what happens with people. Casting out a demon is not deliverance. If you have not got rid of the spiritual programming that the demon has left your mind with, it needs to be broken. And that stronghold can be pulled down with the armor, by the helmet of salvation. By surrounding your mind with the walls of salvation, which cannot look back. It gives a coverage to you on the backside that you cannot turn back. You cannot turn back. Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Oh my God, we are out of time. I will continue. We will continue this armor of God the next meeting. Okay? Let us pray now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The helmet of salvation. Are you ready to put on the helmet of salvation? Are you ready to put on the whole armor of God? Helmet of salvation is not the work of man, but the work of God. And every attacks, arrows can be put down by the helmet of salvation. If you are protected with the revelation of the helmet of salvation, hallelujah, hallelujah, not the work of man, but the work of God. If someone cheated you, if you are losing money, if you are in financial lack, you have to put on the helmet of salvation. Those situations are arrows against your mind to play games with your mind, brethren, so that the devil can stop you from advancing and taking over territories and advancing in the kingdom of God. If there are relationship problems in your life, your husband is not behaving properly with you, your children are not behaving properly with you, there are bad news that are coming to you, whatever, wherever it is coming from, if it's your husband, if it's your children, start to tell God, Lord, not my, but yours. Not my marriage, not my husband. He belongs to you first. He belongs to you. Hallelujah. When the people of Israel started to tell Samuel, Samuel, we need a king like the other nations. Samuel was sad. That words impacted his mind. And he said, God, you see these people? I served them as a prophet so many years. Now they say that they need a king. But God said, don't worry, Samuel. Don't take it to heart. Because they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. They have not rejected your counsel, they have rejected my counsel. Hallelujah. Man of God, woman of God, you have to realize that it's not your work, it's the work of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you did what God told you to do, if you said what God told you to say, if you preached what God told you to preach, and then they come against you, don't take it to your mind. Don't let it impact your mind. Because they are not saying it against you. They are saying it against God. God will handle it. Helmet of salvation. Not my ministry, people. And not my ministry, God. It's your ministry, God. Oh, Lord. These are not my people. They are not saying it against me. But I did your work. But they are saying it against you, God. You handle them. Hallelujah. I don't want to be in the picture. Hallelujah. These are not my finances. This is not my job. This is not my business, my company. It is yours, God. It is yours, God. Anything that is happening to you, happening in these things. Hallelujah. Any cheating, any smuggling of money, Lord. Oh Lord, where I'm losing money, Lord. Oh Lord, it was your money, Lord, not my money. I surrender it to you. Helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Put on the helmet of salvation so that the devil will not be able to play with your mind. Hallelujah. Rezokotorobo. And in the name of Jesus, start to lay your hands on your head. And in the name of Jesus, pray with me. I destroy every spiritual programming that has been installed by demonic spirits. Right now, I pull down the strongholds in my mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, every spiritual programming in my mind, contrary to the word of God, contrary to the will of God, contrary to the identity that God has for me, I destroy it in Jesus' mighty name. Let the strongholds and the walls of demons break. Let the walls of Jericho break, and let the walls of Jerusalem be constructed. Now, that is the helmet of salvation. The walls of Jerusalem, the walls of fire be all around my mind in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Everyone decree and declare and say, Lord, I am ready to be a wrestler for you. I am ready to be a wrestler for you. Yes, the aspect of the intercessory ministry where you are required to wrestle, where you are required to wrestle. Man of God, woman of God, you are not a normal Christian. You are called to carry out mighty exploits. You are called to advance, get into the demonic territories, disarm principalities, and bring the kingdom of God. You are not a normal pastor. You are a supernatural child of God, called to defeat the powers of darkness, called to advance in territories. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God says to Gideon, mighty man of valor, you are the deliverer of Israel. Don't stop threshing at the threshing floor. Arise from that place. How many times do you want God to bring word? Come and hear God. He will speak once, but you hear it twice. Meditate on it. Do not let this word go off from your life, from your heart, and from your mind. Hold on to the word that you are called to advance with the whole armor of God. So let us put on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand the wiles of the enemy. Every arrow tonight has been put down, which is against the mind. Every attacks against the mind has been put down in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, rasoko ya barabonteara, eya brosam real tarabarabose. Lord, I release, Lord, the work of the mighty weapon I have to break down and pull down strongholds in the minds of people. The strength of the walls be pulled down in Jesus' name. High things and arguments in the minds be pulled down in Jesus' mighty name. Arosha batakaya masata. Razafora vala hadianja vara vala hadrianto. Manza franta kara vala haldrevene. Razafara vala koda ravanzianza franta. Rajafada ravazialda rabando. Manzo boro bo shabata rabala kadaraba. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Lord, every thought be brought to your feet into submission to the feet of Christ, to be obedient to the feet of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you. Oh Lord, this season, Lord, you want your people to understand the revelation of the armor and to put on the whole armor. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise for this time. Hallelujah. Thank you once again for this time, oh Lord, my God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God bless you, everyone. And we'll see you next.